Oh, yeah. What's up, y'all? Coming to you from beautiful downtown Augusta on this 21st day of September 2021. Welcome to the first Alma Presents podcast. I am your host, Coco Rubio, hashtag I know Coco. Been wanting to do a podcast for a long time, and I got to thank David and Chris here at Augusta Podcast for making it happen. Thanks so much, David, over there holding it down. The purpose of the podcast, Alma Presents, is to highlight, I want to talk about local Augusta musicians and artists and to shine the light on these folks that are doing some cool things here in town. And we'll be listening to original music by my guests, either live or pre-recorded. I think we got some pre-recorded track today we're going to listen to. It's very exciting. My guest today is a local musician and a good friend of mine, Mr. Sean Piazza. Sean, what's up, man?
What's up now?
It's good to have you here. Thanks so much. I'm glad that you're my first guest on the Alma Presents podcast.
I'm very excited. No pressure.
Man, we were supposed to have that show at the Imperial Theater in September with Driving and Crying.
Yeah.
I was real excited because you had the original band, right? Everybody was going to play with you.
Everybody was on board. I was super excited, but I also completely understand as well.
Yeah, the time was not right to do it, and we all agreed with the band, and the Imperial, and us that we should wait until we could have a regular rock show.
Absolutely.
And so we'll do that. I promise we'll set that up, and looking forward to seeing you live. I know you've been doing some things in Atlanta.
Yes.
Recording some music, and we're going to listen to a track a little bit later.
I'm glad
we got that to happen. So I'm real excited about that. I wanted to talk a little bit, Sean, today, just kind of go back to like how you started, and I was trying to think like, how did we meet? Because I feel like I've known you so long, but when did we meet? How did we meet?
I think we probably met through my sister.
Shannon.
Yep. My sister, she was working downtown, and then, I started playing some early on, and then
where were you playing? You were playing.
I played.
It's coming back to me now. It's coming back to me now.
When I first started, I was doing some open mics when I was real young, Red Lion or something like that. And then I got downtown, and I ended up, my first show downtown was opening up for Horsepower, all by myself. Nice. at the Soul Bar, just acoustic, just me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it was. I remember now because Shannon. Who I love, Shannon.
Yeah.
She was like, Coco, you need to see my little brother play. He's doing open mics at the Red Lion.
Sounds about right.
And I didn't see you there because I was always working. But I remember when you did that and you opened up and you were sitting down, weren't you?
I was sitting down. I'll never forget it.
Because you were nervous, right? Is that why you sat down?
I'm always nervous. And I remember opening for Horsepower. I played all original songs.
Yeah.
And I got done. And the response was just pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was cool. And I remember it got everybody's attention because we'd heard about you, but now we finally saw you. And right. It was like, dang, what's up with this? Sean's voice, and we all kind of said it then, it was like
right. And that show,
an incredible voice, dude.
Yeah, that show really led me to creating my own actual self in music.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because early on, I was playing covers with some guys right out of high school, like played a couple of high school dances. And then
what was the name of that band? Do you remember?
I really don't remember. It's probably Sean Piazza, man. I really don't know. But some of the guys earlier in my career were, Pat Blanchard.
Yeah.
Him and I used to hang out a lot, and I learned a lot from him. George Dale, actually.
Yeah.
Who is a genius. He can play anything. Him and I actually, right after high school, we kind of hung out some, and he taught me a lot on guitar just by watching him. But the way I actually learned to play guitar is a funny story. My cousin Bill, he had a black and white Fender Stratocaster, and he was by no means great or anything. Sorry, Bill. And he showed me, he saw I was interested in watching him play. He said, you want to learn? I said, I guess. And he showed me a C chord.
Right.
That's
right.
All he showed me.
Yeah,
and then I took...
That, so how old were you when this was happening?
I was probably 16 or 17.
So you were in high school?
Yeah.
And where'd you go to high school?
Aquinas. And Richmond.
Okay.
And Richmond.
I didn't know you went to Richmond too.
I went for Richmond for
half
a
year. But you graduated from Aquinas,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So in Aquinas, you were doing your thing. You started playing guitar?
A little bit, and I got some funny stories about that too, but the way I taught myself guitar was I learned a C chord from him, and then I immediately went upstairs and I learned Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd, and that taught me C, G, D, A minor. It taught me how to pick. Mm-hmm. It taught me how to strum. And that's kind of like where I learned to play guitar. And then, like I said, with Pat Blanchard and George Dale, watching those guys, you know, picking up stuff here and there. But I always like to tell that funny story that Simple Man will teach you everything you need to know.
Simple Man is it.
That's I mean, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. So do you remember some of the, like, bands that you would, you know, that were playing out at that time when you first started playing guitar?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Death Star back then had a really huge impact on me here locally.
Death Star. Now let's talk about them for a minute. That's who's in that band? That's all our friends.
Eric Kinlaw, Jason Rubio, and Raul Pacheco. And then before it was also, was it Mike?
Mike Guanlao.
Mike Guanlao. But I never really saw him play.
Right,
on after.
And left. I guess to describe Death Star, you know, they were, they're a little bit, they were very original, doing all their original music.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd kind of compare them to like Sonic Youth and Yola Tango.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite, you know, local bands for sure.
Easily.
And just on a creative side, I mean, just what they did, you know, everything they did was, and we had a lot of shows there at Soul Bar and Nacho Mama's back in the day, and that was fun, you know, because there wasn't really any other venues to play, you know, downtown like that. So we were, and that's what we wanted to do. And
yeah,
what's crazy though is you basically got Death Star to be your backing band, man. How did that happen?
It really just happened. Like, I didn't call anyone. I was playing a show, and I remember Eric, I believe, showed up with his upright bass and just started plucking. And
then
the next thing, Jason came along, and then Henry, and then, I mean, which it just happened.
Right, right. And Henry went on violin, of course.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it because it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how good that opening set was, I guess, you know, for Horsepower when they saw you and you were going to be playing acoustic like that. They were like, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
I want to play, you know, this guy needs a band.
Right.
And it worked out perfectly, you know, because.
And during that time, there was a lot of bands that were all original. And they were great.
Like who? Who are you talking about?
Oh, geez. Oh, well, Death Star. You had the Decrepits.
Decrepits, awesome band. Joe, what's up?
You had J.J. Maj.
J.J. Maj. Right. Now, David would like them because they're kind of Cajun Louisiana flavor. You know them, David? J.J. Maj, the Unpolished Brass, Matthew Acosta and his crew.
They were amazing.
They were fantastic. Yeah. One of my favorite bands,
And one thing that I like to point out about bands is the way they get the crowd going.
Yeah.
And the feeling that J.J. Maj would have when they play a show, I mean, you can't help but dance and have a good time because everybody's enjoying their
show. Yeah, yeah. They brought it on the stage, and then it just was very infectious for sure. And it was really good. And it was funky, but it was like their own take on funk. And
it was original.
It was.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah. I thought Matthew, and I still think Matthew Acosta is, you know,
one of my favorite
front men that we've had here in Augusta.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I've always kind of been telling him, man, let's do that reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do it somewhere. You know, I'd like to do like a reunion, you know, concert with like several old bands like
You know, we had several CD release shows where we played with J.J. Maj, and it was just a blast.
Remember that St. Patrick's Day one time, and it was a bunch of bands.
I can still see the poster.
The poster's good. Jacobs did that artwork, and it was awesome. Who else you got on your list?
I got Hell Blinky also, did I say them?
Man, Hell Blinky, get out of here. It's so good. Andrew Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
Love that guy.
The amount of original music back then was ridiculous.
Yep. Andrew, we need to get him back on.
And then you had also you had the Cubist come along.
Yep.
And I mean, that's Noel Brown, which you can't say enough about.
That's him. Noel Brown for sure. Yeah, musical genius, and he's the one who produced the track we're going to listen to.
I remember
Marcus Barfield though, and Chris Barfield. That was
absolutely
awesome band right there for sure. That CD that they put out, is one of the best local CDs I think.
And I got a couple more. You also have the Riff Raff Kings.
Yes.
Back then.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
You have
awesome. Then cool guys, too. Cool guys.
Oh, man.
Great band.
Time.
But they were
all
so
nice
good.
Guys.
Awesome.
JJ was just a great person.
Yeah.
You know, they all were.
Yeah, they were all super cool.
And then, you know, as years went on, you had Eat Lightning. Then you had Turf War.
Yes.
You know, I know Eat Lightning, yes.
Yeah.
But these are the type of bands that were original and genuine, and they didn't put on put on a gimmick to where they weren't themselves on stage. They were still themselves, every single band.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm leaving someone out. But those bands right there
are the ones that you remember that did that for sure. Yeah,
the
that's cool.
The Decrepits, I mean,
yeah, their shows were amazing. Yeah. I was the energy that they, you know, brought out, and just like the pure rock and roll. I mean, absolutely. It was amazing. You know, you can't fake that. You have to do it. I think all the bands you listed just kind of took me back, you know, and that's kind of what I want to do with the podcast is talk about all these things, you know, and then talk about, you know, what you're doing now, you know, and we go from there to now. Now, you started playing with the band, and you guys did something that I thought was cool. You recorded your first album here in Augusta.
Yes.
And how was that?
It was a very great experience. I mean, I couldn't have been more excited. I had all these people helping me that were willing to do whatever it took just to put something out that sounded great, and they just had my back on anything, and it was just a great feeling. I've never really experienced anything like that before, so...
Mm-hmm. You know, that album still sounds really good when you listen to it, and to be recorded the way y'all recorded it, I remember, was that Alexander Drive?
I believe so, yes.
Studio that goes down. Yes. They had the house there, and the Kyle and, what was his name?
Andy. Kyle and Andy.
Hooked it up, and it sounds good. That CD is collectible. Yeah. Probably worth a lot of money, man. Put that on eBay. Man, I got to look for it. You got a copy of it?
I don't even have one.
I got one somewhere. I got to look for it.
But I've been wanting to actually... get that pressed to vinyl and
that would be awesome. Release it. Yeah. And I love the album cover with the birds that were pasted on the wall of Blue Sky Kitchen.
Absolutely.
That was a good one. But then after that album, which was great, to me, it's almost like your like best album as far as like, I like all the songs on there.
Yeah. It was a great album. And you can tell from the first song to the last song, you can see where it started to grow. The last song, I believe, was Sad Girl.
That's
right. You can see it started taking on a different form, and like I said, I just the whole experience of everyone being all in and just loving it. Just
it's cool that y'all recorded that and kind of documented those songs, and you have it, you know, on that CD.
Oh,
we'll have to talk about, you know, re-releasing that and putting it out there.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
But then after that, you guys decided to change it up for your second album, and you went up to Athens with the world famous Mr. Dave Barbie at Chase Park Transduction Studio, and How was that, man? I was there.
It was, but, you know, it was amazing. He is one of the kindest souls and most genuine individuals you can meet. And he was just easy to work with. And he gave you great advice and made you feel at home. And it was really, like I said, just times I'll never forget in my life or take for granted.
Yeah.
Younger me didn't realize what it really meant. Older me appreciates it.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it was cool that y'all saved up money and you spent money to do that.
Well,
And you have something that is, you know, priceless in my opinion, you know, and you did that and it takes you back.
I think one of the things about that is that Dave Barbie himself loved it. Yeah. And that for me was enough to take it.
Well, the whole process of like starting to record the tracks and do the songs and then like adding to the songs and then getting his input and then doing stuff and then watching all of you kind of work together and add these things. Right. And it was kind of amazing watching him produce the album, you know, and I mean, that was awesome.
I still have all the tapes at home. I got them all.
Wow. That's cool. And I remember he was so cool. Barbie was that he let us sleep in the studio.
Yeah, I remember.
And so, you know, instead of, you know, we just stayed there and it was warm in the studio, but then like the other outside parts, it was like really cold and stuff. And
I was very lucky to be in that situation.
Yeah. That's cool.
Very cool.
And it was cool. You did it again, absolutely. You know, for the third album, which is, you know, your last one that you put out.
Yes.
And this was, how long ago though was that, man?
It was too long ago. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And
you put out that record and it was a good record also. And it was almost like, you know, to continue working with him, he knew what to expect. You knew what to expect. So you can kind of work, you know, those songs out.
I would still love to go back and work with him, even if it's for one song.
Yeah.
And I feel like he would feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, we did work on that one song, the Christmas song that I kind of wrote to where it didn't sound like a Christmas song. The fact that he played bass on that and right next to me. And like I said, it's just.
Yeah. And what else happened on that track?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I know.
That was cool, right?
I know. Isbell played.
Jason Isbell played a lead guitar and he came in later and we talked to him. We were friends because he had played at the Soul Bar with his, you know, the 400 unit, his new band after he left the Drive By Truckers. And we were like, hey, man, if you ever get up to Athens, we got a song. And, you know, if you could play guitar, it'd be awesome. And. Dang if he didn't do it, right? Yeah, it was absolutely. So awesome, man. You know,
and it actually led to him kind of knowing who I am. And you and I went and saw him, I think, at the Bell Auditorium. And right. I was, you know, I was nervous. And I was like, he's not going to remember me. And then I get 10 feet from him. He's like, hey, Sean, how are you?
Yeah, dude. Right, right, right. Yeah. He's awesome. And I'm so glad that he's doing what he's doing, you know.
He's doing great. I'm actually going to see him October 17th. It's on my birthday at the Ryman.
Nice.
Which, nice. You know, I'm going to try to.
Have you been there before?
Never been there.
Okay. That's an amazing venue.
Yeah, it was a surprise birthday present my girlfriend got me. So thank you, Boo.
Yes, thank you, Boo. That's awesome. No, that's an amazing venue. That's going to be one of the best shows you've ever seen in your life.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so that was a while back. And then, I mean, kind of quickly, what happened? I mean, you haven't put any music out. You've been working on some stuff recently. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what happened? Life happens, right?
Well, life happens, and people, you know, want to go in a different direction sometimes. And, or it's, you know, you have arguments or disagreements, and stuff happens, and you kind of just take a break, not necessarily on purpose or anything like that, but it was time to take a break, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know everybody that was in the band, you know what I mean? So everybody had things going on and
absolutely,
stuff, and,
yeah.
You know, but I think it's cool that y'all are still friends.
Oh, yeah, we would still play a show in a heartbeat. Where, I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you've kind of done that. It seemed like, you know, one-offs that you would do here and there and stuff. And,
I would love it.
That was one of the reasons why I was like, you know, I got to get these guys back together to play. And, you know, opening up for Driving and Crying would be great. You know, it would be a good show and stuff. So we'll hook that up in the future. And hopefully we'll do some other things, too. And, you know, I'd really like to do a local music festival.
I think you should.
Reunite some bands, absolutely. But then do current bands. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to be talking to some of the current, you know, musicians playing in bands, you know, currently. And it'll be fun to kind of just promote all the good music we have in Augusta. Again, that's the whole purpose of my podcast and stuff. And so, again, thank you for coming doing this. I want to hear this new track.
Okay.
What do you think? You want to talk about this track?
It's a track I actually have had for probably 10 years, maybe a little longer, but it's a song I recorded on my computer a long time ago.
I have that track, you know.
And it's a great that version's great.
You know, I forgot I had it on my laptop, and I've been listening to the new, you know, the new mix and everything, the new the recording. Yeah. And then I saw this one and it's a demo, Still Wake Up. And so I played it, listened to it, and I was like, that's the track. And it's so cool to hear that mix. We don't want to play that mix. We're going to hear the new mix.
Absolutely.
So you can kind of hear that. And maybe we'll go back and we'll put that demo on the B side.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I wasn't going to play it today, but I was like, I got to.
Yeah, well, we talked to Noel, and, you know, we explained to him that it's just exciting to let people hear this.
Yes.
Even though it's not done. Noel kind of was like, man, not ready to put it out to the world, but this is like just a little, you know,
it's just a teaser of what's coming because
like
I said, I'm fortunate enough to go to Atlanta this year, and Noel's in a position where he has a home studio, and it's just, it was too comfortable and too easy, you know? So,
I think it's great that you hooked up with him again and were able to spend time with him. Noel's just an amazing musician and person.
Oh, man. And I couldn't imagine not,
you know,
knowing Noel.
Yeah,
or Eric or Henry or Jason. I mean, it's all.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that about you guys that, you know, you kind of have that respect for each other. And, you know, you guys have done some good things. And
Well I wouldn't have the support and, you know, not just the recognition I have if it wasn't for those guys. They made everything so easy. Somehow I was able to sing and they were able to do the rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a perfect combo, I thought, you know, having that band behind you.
I have nothing but much love and respect for every single one of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm ready to play this track.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it? Now, do we want to say anything about it? You know, we said there were some bad words in it.
There's a couple bad words in there, but, you know, this is a time where things were a little dark.
Yeah.
And
to me, it was, this song is almost like the perfect, you know, like quarantine song.
Yeah.
You know, and like the, you know, you're wondering what's going to happen, you know, and kind of how the hook, you know, you still wake up and you get up and you go, you know. I've even told Maya this and said, you know, and we listened to the song because she was kind of starting her new job and just kind of getting into this new thing. And I was like, Maya, you just got to you still wake up.
You still wake up.
And you got to go, you know, and do it. And
as bad,
you
know, as things
as
are.
As bad as things are.
As bad as they could be, you're still going to wake up.
Still wake
and
up.
Deal and deal with it. So,
yeah.
As this song does, it sounds like it's a very dark song, but it's really about being okay and waking up the next day.
Right, right. And I like that in the lyrics at the end when it kind of has that part that it's telling you, yeah, it's going to be okay. And I'm very excited. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Yes, sir.
And to play it on the podcast. David, thanks so much for the opportunity. I'm going to play this now. Is that cool? You ready?
They always say that words don't mean anything, but you see that means that they don't have time. Don't have time, no, they don't have time for you. I'm tired of fake-ass people sharing their shit, thinking they're better than anyone else. Words.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Dude, I mean, to hear it in the...
Noel's amazing.
To hear that on the headphones the way we are right here, and it's like really listening to it for the first time.
Yeah, me too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then together, and it's like I'm looking at Sean singing these, you know, this song, and wow, this is kind of surreal. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this album I'm working on with Noel, and much thanks to him and love to him because, you know, he's sure. making it happen. Him and I, I've always hammered on him about get your own studio. I want to come record. Mm-hmm. He's always like, but now he's at a point where he has, you know,
yeah.
the home studio.
He's got it hooked up.
And he's just in the pocket. He just
sure,
he's
sure.
all over the place.
So what's up? How many more songs do you have that you're going to record with him, you think?
Well, we want to try to do an album,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but we'll shoot for an EP first.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to go up there once a month.
Yeah, that's cool.
Until it's done.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, good luck with all that, Sean. Thank you. It was great to hear that track. Noel, thank you very much. Again, that is a rough track, so he's still got some things he's going to do to it. And we're going to, you know, make sure
some stuff
that
will be leveled out and whatnot, but I want to give everybody a taste of what's going on.
Yeah, instead of playing an old song, we said, let's hear a new song.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you very much, Sean. Hopefully we'll see you play live again. Do you have anything planned, or are you...
Well, I definitely want to get back playing live. I was talking to a couple people about trying to do something at Stillwater and maybe Soul Bar. I kind of want to play those places. It's just kind of what I want to do. You know, back in the day playing at Soul Bar, there's no better place to play because you have everybody around you.
Right there. They're all around the stage. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
That's probably my favorite stage.
We'll talk to Jason and see what's up. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
It would be fun to do it. I mean... You know, we haven't been doing too much live music there, but, you know.
When it's, you know, okay for everyone and everyone feels comfortable, I'd like to, you know.
I think so, too, for sure, for sure.
Come out, you know, with a bang.
Yep. Well, we're looking forward to it, Sean. Thanks again for coming out. Want to thank everybody
for listening
to this first Alma Presents podcast. And, you know, I'm hoping we can do more of these. And I thank David and Chris, who's not here, with Augusta Podcasts. And to, you know, get more information about what they're doing, you know, and kind of, you know, they're helping us do this. And I think it's great for the music scene in Augusta. And I'm hoping to kind of build on that. And, you know, until we do it again, you know, stay tuned. And for my next podcast, and don't forget to keep downtown Augusta funky.
Let me just say thank you for everything you've done for me. Much appreciated. Thank you for everything you've done for downtown, too.
Oh, you got it, man. Thanks.